Welcome Center for the softball outreach we're going to do. Brother Kenny was going to put all that together for us. I'm going to warn you, I'm feeling really, really, really dangerous tonight. I'm not trying to say that in a funny way. I've just felt all day that there was going to be a prophetic tone to this service tonight. I feel it in my spirit. I don't have a whole lot to go off of. I just figure I'm going to come and just let the Lord take it where he wants to take it. I do have some things that I shared last night in Connie at Bible study I want to share with you. But I want to begin. I want to read just a very brief, and I'll let you be seated in a moment. There's a Zoom Bible study that Bishop Ellis does every week. I was not able to get involved hardly ever, but I try. But he keeps me updated, and he sent an email, and there was a word that was given at the end of this Bible study. It says, in the next 2 weeks, we will see a shaking in our world unlike anything we've ever experienced. That is saying something. Consider some of the people on this call. I don't know what he meant by that. Gave some scripture. He has eyes to see, ears to hear, and a mouth to speak. We must yield ourselves to an extreme humility, a total yieldness that allows the grace of God to flow freely without impediment. We must yield to God, recognizing this that involves both his spirit to obey and the hands of his equippers to follow. And so when I read that, I began to think of some scripture. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that the things which cannot be shaken will remain. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it with a bit of discouragement, because I told a couple tonight, the hardest thing about pastoring, the hardest thing is you realize at some point, no matter how smart you think you are, no matter how well you think you can teach, preach, talk, or whatever, that if people don't want it, it doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. And it's up to the individual. That's why the Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It tells us, if him that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. The Spirit is trying to speak louder than the preachers in this day. Whether you agree with me or not doesn't matter. I am fully convinced that our time is shorter than what we could even think of in this earth. The world is a powder keg right now that could explode at any moment. And you might not want to hear it. Doesn't change reality. I was thinking about the Cuban Missile Crisis. Most of you don't know what it is. You know about a bunch of TikTokers, but you don't know about history. Talked to a young couple I was doing a Bible study with this past week, and I said, what do you know about World War II? Nothing. What do you know about Hitler? I think he was the main perpetrator. They don't teach anything in schools anymore. They're not teaching us history. And so what's discouraging is no matter how much you try, the Bible tells us that people will keep falling away, that hell will keep getting bigger, and that like it was in the days of Noah, they'll just be eating and drinking, going about having their good time, don't need to go to Wednesday night Bible study. Not important enough for me. I've got too many important things to do. Marrying and giving in marriage. And then one day, the Lord will come. And if you've been taught there's a second train, that's a lie. It's not correct. There is no second opportunity once he comes. That's why the Bible says he comes as a thief in the night. Why would he show up? Listen to me. Why would he show up as a thief in the night if you had another opportunity? Why wouldn't he announce his coming? You got to use some common sense and don't listen to the lies of the lying spirit of this day. Watch and pray, for you know not when the hour is that the Son of Man cometh. Why would he just not announce it and then say, all right, I've come, and I know the whole nonsense out there. I just won't take the mark of the beast. If you can't serve God now, you can forget about the mark, all right? If you think for 1 second you can't get yourself up and go to church, I told you it might be dangerous. You can't get up and go to church on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. That's too much for your schedule. And you think when your life and your children, your family is being threatened, you're just going to say, nope, I'm not going to do it, not going to happen. You're absolutely nuts. And when Jesus comes, the Holy Ghost goes. The Holy Spirit is gone because he is the embodiment. So you have no help from the Holy Spirit anymore. These are lies from hell to confuse this last generation. And so, I'm not yelling at you, I'm just talking. I feel so frustrated in my spirit because I wish I could find the words, but I'm constantly reminded that a prophet is not without honor in his own home. Anywhere else. I can go preach anywhere else and they'll take it as the gospel, but sometimes, and that's the same for every preacher. It's the familiarity thing. You can't change it, I can't change it. It's nobody's fault. I'm going to talk to you supposed preachers for a second, you supposed ministers. I'm going to talk, told you it might get a little shaky. You better start learning to be accountable and make phone calls when you're not going to be in the house of God. You want to preach in the pulpit, you better make yourself accountable. And I hope they're watching. If they're not, you go home and you spread the word to them, whoever they are. I'm not talking about just licensed preachers. I'm talking about anybody that considers themselves in ministry or wanting ministry. Accountability is the only thing that'll save you in this last day. It's the only thing that'll save you is being accountable. Nobody cares. The devil don't care if you've been in church your whole life. He doesn't care if you're born, I've been in church, but who cares? You think he cares if you can quote scripture? He quoted it to Jesus. And you think he's afraid of you quoting the Bible? No, he's afraid of you living the Bible. He don't care about you quoting it. Now, I'm preaching to the choir. I understand that. I'm telling you, I want some people to listen. We don't have to be afraid. We just have to be smart. We have to be awake. The Bible calls it the sleep of death. This is not the time to get caught up in la la land. It's not. It isn't. It's not the time to get caught up in the cares of this life. It's not. But no matter how much we preach it, some people will not receive it. And they'll be lost. And God will say, when we stand before him in judgment, every man will be judged according to his works. He's going to say, I gave you a preacher and you rolled your eyes. You thought you knew better. You thought you were smarter. That's what he's going to say. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The preaching is primarily for the believer to keep us on track, to keep us from straying off course. You say, well, preaching's not for the sinner? Well, it is, but they don't have a clue what you're preaching. All they know is what they feel, the Holy Ghost. They know they feel that drawing, that pulling. I don't know. Are we supposed to pray? Let me read two verses to you, and then we're just going to take it wherever it goes. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, if you'd put that on the screen. They don't have any of my stuff, so I'm sorry. Nebuchadnezzar, the king. Hang on a second. I don't know about you, but to me, this is the most serious thing in the world. I mean, it really is. That's why I'm as, like, intense as I am. Eternity is not a game. And if you, listen, let me just talk to you just as a friend. If you think you're going to roller skate into heaven, it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. And if you're not born again of the water and the Spirit, it's not going to happen. Except a man is born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot. And I don't know who the idiot is that started that works doctrine nonsense. I'll tell you what works is. Works is saying that I can say some prayers and I'm all good to go. That's works. Works is not obedience to the water. Wherefore baptism doth now also save us, not the putting of the way of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. That's what repentance is. It's no difference. God deals with you, and your spirit and his spirit begin to communicate and get you to the altar. He deals with you further, and he gets you into the water. And then he deals with you further, and he fills you with his spirit. This isn't hard. We just want it to be easy. That's the problem. I'm not responsible for anything I say tonight. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king, and I wouldn't preach this stuff this like this on Sunday morning, just for the record. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. I don't have a title because I didn't know where I was going. So let me just preach to you for a couple minutes, if you let me. Lord Jesus, help us tonight. Let your will be done. Let your goodness be done, God. We give you praise. I thank you for your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to tell you, I want to help you how to navigate. Listen, I try to simplify it as much as I can. No matter what you say, no matter what you think, no matter where you think we are in time, at some point, somebody is going to be the very last generation. Now, our love of the world sometimes don't want us to believe it's now, but let's just pretend for the sake of this message that it is. I want to help you navigate and understand these last days that we're living in. The first thing is, I would liken Nebuchadnezzar to the world. It's no different what they dealt with in Daniel's day than what we're dealing with today. The world establishes a law or laws, whether it's worship the statue or worship the agenda. It's just not as visible as it was back then. But if the world says it, then we do it. If they say you go 35, you go 35. Not a big deal. You go over, we're going to hit you in the pocketbook. If they say you can't rob a bank, you rob a bank, it's going to be a little harder. Those are common sense laws. We would all agree with those. But what about when they say accept the agenda? What about when they tell you there's more than two genders? What about when they tell you that it's okay for children to be mutilated and change their assigned sex, if you please, at birth? What when they begin to, you say, well, they're not going to mend it, really. So you're not awake. So you're sleeping the sleep of death. So you haven't heard of parents whose state's already taken their children because they won't give their children gender assignment surgery. Let me tell you something. There is no governor. There is no law on the books that can assign gender. Only God assigns gender. That's it. But what are you going to do? When the Nebuchadnezzar of this day tells you, when the moment you hear the music playing, when you hear it broadcast across the media channels, when you see it every day on social media, when it comes knocking on your door and you don't accept, but you become instead a bigot or a hater, or you're just some self-righteous supposed Christian, what are you going to do? Now notice in this text, the Bible says they called everybody together. So that means the masses supported or at least acknowledged or surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar's edict. They called the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and the rulers of the provinces. Everybody. So everybody but those three men bowed down to that statue. Everybody but those three men. If you don't think that there's going to be many people in the church that will be deceived in these last hours, it's all throughout the scripture, and they're going to bow down and they're going to think they're just doing their civic duty, then you're mistaken. Everybody was gathered. Everybody. And then they gave the order. In verse 4, they said, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is suggested. Waiting for someone to correct me. To you, we hope that you'll do this. Now listen to me. You've got to understand everything that's been transpiring in our society. It is becoming a totalitarian society. It's happening in other parts of the world. It's happening in all these communist nations. And COVID was a precursor. put a mask on. I don't want to. Put it on now or get out. And then you get these idiot politicians standing up telling you or telling the masses, and you get this idiot Dr. Fauci. That's why I'm not just gung-ho about every doctor. I told you I could be a little dangerous tonight, so just let me have my liberty for a second. This idiot, that's what he was. He's an idiot. That's not a mean word. It's just a fact. I can't help it. He's an idiot. I didn't choose him to be an idiot. He's an idiot. Getting up there and publicly saying he didn't publicly say it because politicians don't do that, but got caught on recording saying take away their jobs and let's just see if they'll comply then. See, what's going on behind the scenes, what's out of the water, Mr. Titanic, is much smaller than what's underwater. This iceberg is way bigger than what you and I can imagine. It's a monster, and there's a war that's raging in the spirit. There's a war for our children. All this trash that's happening is a war for the innocence of the next generations. It's a war to destroy our children before they come to the ability to decide for themselves, while some pervert out there is deciding for them. That's not my notes. And so this order is commanded on people, nations, and languages. Everybody, white, black, it don't matter what color you are. I don't care if you're rich or poor. Put the mask on. Walk in Walmart and you got some Nazi sitting at the door. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be this tough tonight. You got some Nazi sitting at the door and you got them following you around. Pull it up over your nose. Pull it up. Now, my issue isn't so much that era, it's what was happening to everybody around the entire world. Locking them in their buildings, locking them in housing units. In China, they were welding doors shut to apartment buildings. They let you out once a week to go get food, and you had a couple hours like we're a bunch of sheep. Now, the reason I'm saying this is not for any form of political wrestling. But it's to help you understand when the herald cried aloud and said, whenever you hear the sound of the, let's just say the music, fall down and worship that golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Whenever you hear the cry, whenever you see it across the radio, the TV stations and the radio waves, when everybody's doing it, what makes you think you're any better? You're better than everybody else. Everybody else is doing it. Why don't you just go along with it? You have to understand the spirit behind this stuff. And then churches closing their doors. What's up with that? What in the world's up with that? Churches closing their doors. Hey, I got a lot of good pastor friends that did it. I'm not picking on them, but it wasn't happening here. We did for 2 weeks because I was asked by our bishop to do it. And I said, I'm giving you 2 weeks. That's it. 2 weeks, not closing my doors for months. The devil would love every church door in America to be closed and across the world. He'd love it. He said, when you hear the music, you fall down. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, you got to forgive me. Listen to me. If some pervert was trying to snatch your child, you wouldn't be going, sir, please stop. I'm sorry, what are you doing? Can you please stop, sir? No, that's my child. No. You know what you'd be doing? You'd be screaming. You'd be grabbing stuff, throwing stuff, popping off rounds, doing whatever you could do. Well, as a preacher, when I see this perverted world trying to destroy this generation, our church, I'm not going to just sit by and tuck my tail between my legs. Listen, I'm not trying to be unkind, but we are battling with some of the most wicked spirits that has been on this earth since the beginning of time. Now, that word fall down, he tells him to fall down. You know what it means? It literally means to cease to exist and to die. That's what it means. It means you have to die to your own self in order. Now, watch this. That's exactly what we have to do as Christians. We're supposed to die to ourselves in order to serve God. And remember what the Bible says, you cannot serve both. You're going to serve God or mammon. You're going to die to one of the two. The question is, which one are you going to die to? And when the world puts the call out, what they're trying to do is get us to die to that call. Get us to die to that mission. Get us to die to their way of life. Get us to die to their orders. Get us to die to their rules and their laws. And I'm not preaching about being a rule breaker. I believe in following every law that's on the books unless they're perverted and they go against the law of God. Then we're going to talk. And so he was saying, when you hear the sound of the music, you have to cease to exist and fall down to worship this God. If we give in, if we quit the fight, then we have ceased to exist and we have sold ourselves to the world. We have sold ourselves to this call of the Nebuchadnezzar of our day. Now watch. The issue here was not the fact, really at all, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Jews. It had nothing to do with being Jews. It had everything to do with them dying fully to their past. Because they still kept an identity within themselves. Just like Moses, when he saw the Egyptian beating the two Hebrews, something rose up because he still had an identity even though he was raised in Egypt. There was still Hebrew in his blood. And so Nebuchadnezzar, even though they had been prisoners and they had been taken out of Israel all these years, they still maintained a resemblance of their identity. And if there's one thing the enemy wants to do, he wants to get you to sacrifice every little bit of who you are as a child of God, little by little, piece by piece. And so the order was to get people to fully, that last little bit of holdout, to give in to the call to bow down to this God. Now the Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, I'm sorry, I don't know, I hope I didn't offend anybody by calling Fauci an idiot. He should be a con is what he should be. Convict. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, this is really important. This is really important. Here's what they were saying. They were saying, we're not going to be reckless in our reply. We're going to be very careful. We're going to be very calculated. We're going to think this thing through. Why? Now, watch this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel were all in a situation they would not have been in had they never been carried off into Babylon. Now watch this. What's happening here is they are now positioned directly before the king. When's the last time you had an opportunity to witness to the president? Forget the president. How about the governor? Forget the governor. How about the mayor? You don't. And because they were carried off into Babylon, they were put in a position. They had an opportunity to be a light and to be a voice and to be a witness, an opportunity they would not have had before. And so they said, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're going to be really cautious on what we say, but we're not going to compromise our convictions either. We're not going to get politically correct with you, O great king. We're not just going to tell you what you want to hear. What I'm trying to explain to you is in these hours that we're living in, we must be more calculated and planned out on what we say and how we say it. And we must say it carefully, and the truth must be delivered in love. But in the same token, we're not going to water it down so we make everybody else around us feel better about what we believe and who we are. It's that watering down is the reason why you got empty seats in every church still. Because we're afraid to say it. Well, you know, my family, you know, they really don't like to talk about it. Well, I'm not telling you to cram it down their throat. But when you ask me, you still going to that Bible thought? Yep, sure am. I'll bet you're still giving your tithe. Yep, I sure am. And I just gave a lot more to the building fund too. Yeah, well, I bet you that call. Okay, that's right. Call whatever you want. I'm still there. I'm still there, and you're still an alcoholic. And you're still cheating on your wife. And you still walked out on your children. And you still have a drug problem. And you still can't get a job. And you still can't. You have a marriage that's been falling apart for the last 20 years. You want to keep talking? We'll keep talking. What I'm saying is we cannot let the adversary put us on the defensive in this hour that we're living in. We can do it. Now what? We can do it with kindness. What I preach here is not what I'd say out there. But what we can do with kindness, but we've got to do it with truth. The truth in love. Not a watered down message. Not a half-hearted message. That's why we tell people, except you are born again of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm not trying to debate with you. I'm not even sending you to hell. But I am telling you what the Word of God says. What Jesus himself said. That's not hard. And so they said, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. And then they go on. And they said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that I'm going to go on Facebook and whine. I don't know why I bother trying to serve God. Every time I ask God for something, he doesn't do it anyway. Oh, I need some prayers coming my way. My life has just been so bad. I don't even know what to do. I'm about done. You know, you ever see that stuff? I'm done. I'm just done. Oh, honey, what's wrong? Oh, honey, what's going on? Oh, honey, can I help you? You're not going to help. You're not even going to get up out of your chair. What do you mean? Can I help you? Well, I'm sending prayers your way. Kind of like, you know, like they used to, in the old days, use ravens to send. So you have ravens show up on your doorstep with a prayer and his talons for you. I know I sound a little sarcastic tonight. I didn't eat today. But they said, God can deliver us. Now watch this. Do you know what the key to surviving these last days are? You have to be okay if God does, and you have to be okay if God doesn't. If God delivers you, wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. If he doesn't, hey, Lord, I'm coming home. You've got to be okay with it. You can't be one of those people that you're only going to believe in God until he answers your prayer. And if he doesn't answer him, you're going to backslide and blame God for the rest of your life. God can. He can. When you get people out there in the world. Now listen, I'm trying to get to my point. So to get through navigate these waters of these last days, we got to be really calculated on what we do and how we do it. A, we cannot be put on the defensive. Don't be made to feel ashamed of who you are. Are you speaking tongues? Sure do. Sometimes from sun up till sundown, depending on how bad the week is. Yep, and they did in the Bible too. And no, it wasn't just for them back that day to evangelize the gospel. That's the biggest crock of poo-poo we've ever heard. There's no Bible for that. And don't go to Acts chapter 2 because Peter preached to them in his native tongue. They didn't need to be speaking in tongues to minister to the crowds. He preached in his native tongue, Acts chapter 2, verse 12 or 14 or whatever it is. What am I saying? I'm saying I'm not going to be careful to answer this matter. Do you believe that it's not appropriate for a man and a man to get married? Listen, no matter what I believe, first of all, I love you and I respect you, and I hope you respect me. But you wouldn't respect me if I wasn't honest with you. It's not about what I believe, it's what the Word of God says. And listen to me, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you what the Word of God says. I don't get a bonus because you come to church, because you change your lifestyle. I don't get, the pastor doesn't hand out gift cards to me. And if you want a Bible study, let me just show you. Then you can make the decision for yourself. We got to be careful. You know, the days of old in that ridiculous Baptist church down in Florida that were years ago that were going around to every rally and holding signs, God hate fags and all that stuff, that's ridiculous. They're not even Christians. And I'm just quoting the sign just for the record. That's not how a Christian acts or what a Christian does. I'm saying we have to be careful what we say, but not compromise in the process. You'll never win somebody if you're unsure of who you are. Where does this ever come from? Why? I just don't want to run them off. Do you understand? I'll talk to myself for a minute. Do you understand that's the dumbest thing you could ever say? How do you run off somebody that's not here? How do you run off somebody who's already on the road to hell? Well, I mean, I just got to see what that looks like on paper. I don't understand it. You can't run them off. But you know what it means? Can I tell you what we really mean? Well, we don't want to be unpopular. We don't want anybody being upset at us. So, you know, Pastor, I just got to be gentle. Listen, gentleness is for toddlers, not for 12-year-olds. I mean, when they're a toddler, you handle them one way. When you're 15, it's another. And for those of you that are toddlers, you'll learn that pretty quickly. Oh, it's cute. Look, he's biting me. Oh, that's so cute. 15 years later, 911, what's your emergency? Can you please come and get me? My son is beating me up. Oh, it happens all the time. Where'd your gentleness get you? See, sometimes you got to take the gloves off. Sometimes you got to call an ace. Listen, we have got to confront this Nebuchadnezzar of our day head on. We don't compromise because of the edicts. We don't compromise because everybody else in the land is doing it. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to get scared. We're going to become more bold and more brazen than we've ever been before. We're going to ask God to give us words of wisdom. Help us to deliver this word and this message in love. Listen to me. I wouldn't get around people who are my family without saying, listen, you got to make a decision because eternity's coming fast. Oh, don't come preaching that stuff. I won't preach it. But I just want God to know that I at least did my part to try and reach you before you're lost. I understand sometimes opportunities have to open themselves up. I'm not saying you just browbeat things to death. So anyway, the key is, as ugly as our world is, and we've got to acknowledge it, as rough as it is, we have to understand that we're here for such a time as this, and that God is trying to position the church to be the voice. But if the church won't speak, God has no voice. We are his voice. Don't tell me God speaks to everybody. People who are lost have no clue what the voice of God sounds like. And sometimes the same folk don't either. Ask Eve. What am I saying? I don't know. I'm saying there's a spirit in our world. And this spirit is demanding that every child of God bow down to the direction that this world is headed. Can you play for me? This spirit is demanding that we sacrifice our last bit of identity as children of God. It's demanding that we become more and more like the world, that we look more and more like the world, that there's no distinction, that there's no definition to the church at all. It's demanding that all churches kind of operate the same way. How did we ever get to the point? And if it's you tonight, I'm sorry, I didn't look around, I don't know who. But how do we ever get to the point where we bring our big gulps, our Mountain Dews, and our energy drinks into the sanctuary? How did we ever get to that point? What's the big deal? I don't know. Well, rewind 9,000 years, 8,000 years, 10,000, whatever it is. And tell me any scripture when the priest walked into the tabernacle smoking a cigarette or a pipe or he had his energy drink or his coffee or whatever in his hand. It never happened. It didn't exist. Years ago, my bishop said something to me that just stuck with me. Never forgot it. He said, I just can't picture people walking into the tabernacle. Now, listen, I believe in social media, and I believe that we have to present ourselves through media because the world's on it. That's not compromising. That's trying to reach the world. All right? But he said, I just couldn't imagine Aaron walking into the tabernacle and taking pictures of the ark. Really? You, me, any church, we can lose our identity if we keep chasing the crowds, if we keep chasing the shows and the pizzazz and the jazz, and we stop pursuing the Holy Ghost. Now, Sunday's Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to try and preach some Holy Ghost if God will help us. But listen, we got to put our coffees down when we're in the sanctuary, leave our big gulps at home. Some of you, I love you, but I don't understand. Service is over. You're 10 minutes in. 9 people have to get up and go to the bathroom. I don't understand that. Now, you know, I know, Jesus knows, maybe 1.5 of those are actually using the bathroom. The other 8.5, 7.5 just can't sit for 15 minutes. You know why that is? Right there. That's why. At the table, on the bus, in the backseat of the car, on the toilet, in bed. Yeah, you know, you all know it. You know it. You know I'm right. You better get us. I might just kind of fling it here. Thank you. Here's one for you. I'm just waiting. WADING. Here's one for you. There's not a soul in this building other than maybe 2 or 3 kids whose parents are smart enough to make them wait longer to get a phone. There's not a soul in this building that came to church tonight without a phone, but half of them came without a Bible. Tell me where our priorities are. Well, my Bible's on my phone. I've been telling our church, Brother Kurt, you got to get that nonsense off. You know why? Because while you're sitting on the phone, text message, Instagram, TikTok. And for those of you that still don't listen because you're rebellious and you still have Snapchat on your phone. You know, I get talking about Snapchat. There's 2 things you talk about and people get really upset at you. Snapchat and medical marijuana. You talk about those 2 things and you have a church split. And then everybody has to justify why they need Snapchat. Well, you don't understand. That's how we send messages. I know. So they disappear as soon as they're sent. I know. I'm not stupid. And pictures. And whatever else you want to send. There is not a married person alive should have Snapchat on their telephone. Don't tell me that so you can send messages. You got Messenger, and you got texting, and you got email, and you got 1,000 other apps. Don't tell me you need Snap. Listen to me. I got a 10th grade education. I am not that dumb. I'm serious. I've heard that 1,000 times. I'm trying to stop. I just want to talk for a second. I know I seem like I just didn't have anything. I just felt like just go. Let God say whatever he wants to say, and Lord, help me to say what I'm supposed to say and all that good stuff. We are living, according to the Bible, in the last days, perilous, dangerous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. The Bible's not a liar. The scripture knows. We just don't know. We're not willing to admit it sometimes. Now listen, we have a great church. Kurt and Dory, very honored to have you tonight. I'm sorry I'm this way tonight. Give me one more chance. Come back Sunday. We have a great church. We do. And we have great people, but we're not perfect people. And we're not deities either. We are flesh and blood, and we are subject to get roped in, to get duped, to get deceived, because we are human beings. And before you know it, you're wondering, what's happened to me? What's happened to man? I used to have a desire to pray. I got a struggle to drag myself in the prayer room anymore, and sometimes it's a season, but it's not always. Sometimes it's becoming a way of life, and if we're not careful, we won't acknowledge it, and before you know it, we'll be swallowed up. Talking to this couple tonight, I said, it's very discouraging. I said, I can go down the list of all the people. And no, I'm not taking the blame. I'm not taking the blame because somebody went back into sin or because somebody wanted to run off of some dude that they met online that they never knew or because they couldn't control their temper or their anger and their kids were a bunch of rebellious bimbos and they're cheating on spouse. Now, you're not blaming the church for that nonsense. You're not blaming the church for that. You get over that. That ain't the church's fault. First of all, nothing's the church's fault. The church is not perfect because of you and me. But I've been hurt, Brother Klein, a lot, a lot. We've been gutted over the years. We're still here. My wife's had some of the worst, dumbest, unkind things in the world said to her over the years. Many times, she's still here. Not always easy. Some days it's tough for us too. Those are excuses. People leave because they want to fall into the world. Because they're playing with the world. All right, let me share this one story with you. I don't even know why. I'm like all over the place. So years ago, I called this couple up and I said, hey, you've been on my heart lately. Yeah, I know, I got to get my head out of the sand. We're just not praying and fasting. It's all right, you can do it. You can do it. I believe in you. Just got to get yourself back together. Yeah, I know. Okay, click, phone call's over. 6 months later, I mean, I'm like for days, I mean, I feel like that yellow warning light is in my brain just flashing constantly. I mean, I felt like there's some danger going on here. I called him up. I said, that's exactly how I started the conversation. I said, what's going on with you? What do you mean? I said, well, I called you several months back and blah, blah, blah. And I said, but now I feel like there's danger in your life. Well, I'm surprised you just now figured it out. I said, I didn't just now figure it out. I called you 6 months ago. And you said, I didn't answer them that way. I wanted to. I called you 6 months ago. Well, we got to talk. I said, all right, I'll change my schedule. Come on to my office, talk tonight. They get here. If they're watching, I doubt they are, but it by chance. Well, we just think God wants us to move to Florida. So we're moving to Florida. We don't want anybody telling us any different. Listen, you know you're not a person's pastor when they won't even ask you your opinion. And you know you're an absolute fool when you do things without counsel. Because in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And you say, called no man a fool. Okay, sentence me to hell. Fine, I did it. So, done. And so I said to them, Brother Klein, I said, okay. They said, we don't want no one telling us any different. I said, all right. I said, I just want to say, if you go to Florida and it's not God's will, I said, your children will wind up backslidden. They got so offended at me, they never came back to church since that moment. I hear 7-8 months later, the 15-year-old ran off with some guy out in Conneaut or out in Pennsylvania, was found with some dude. One of them's living an alternative lifestyle now. And guess what? They never went to Florida. What happened to God's will? What happened to God's will? You said it's God's will. We want nobody telling us different. In the world, all over the place, maybe been in and out of a church here and there. I don't even know all the details. When God warns you, listen to the warning. You know, right there by angel, praying. The Lord talks to me about someone in the church. Says if she'll serve me, I'll spare her child the spirit of homosexuality. Now, you can get offended. This is not uncommon knowledge. If you know, great. If you don't, then go do what you normally do. Go dig all over Facebook until you can find your answers. Call everybody up. Hey, who's you talking about? Got up, walked out in the foyer, called, said, this is what the Lord said. Yeah, I know. You receive it, I receive it. Here we are, years later. They didn't change. And their child is living a homosexual lifestyle. Because God doesn't miss it. I go down the list. Before that, I'm preaching. Some of you know this story. I'm preaching. I said, looked right back there. I said, if you're not careful, I said, you're going to send your kids straight to hell the way you're living. Next day, I get the phone call. Hey, Pastor, can I ask you a question? Sure. And I do hope these people watch because I want them to know that God warned them. Now, there's still an opportunity. If you ain't dead yet, you still got a chance to repent. That's a beautiful thing about it. Can I ask you a question, Pastor? Sure. I don't mind if it was God, but why did you call my name out? I said, I didn't call your name out. Yeah, you did. I said, no, I didn't. Well, I looked at my wife and she looked at me and I'm telling you right now. I said, you better go listen to the message. I said, because I think God caused you to hear your name. I think God's trying to get a hold of you. So I hung up the phone. I'm like, I'm going to go listen to the message. I listened to the message. I'm telling you, I would have put my soul on the fact I did not say their name. I am telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, I called that man's name out plain as day. I even asked other people. I called several people before I listened to the message because I was too lazy to go through the whole thing and find it. I said, when I said this, did you hear me say, nope, you didn't say anybody's name. Did you hear me say, nope, you didn't say anybody's name. I spoke that man's name as plain as day. Guess what? He was having an affair on his wife at that very moment. And then a month later, there was a tongues interpretation, and they were sitting right over there. Sorry, folks. And the interpretation was, don't you think I don't know where you are and where you're living right now? God reaches for us at every chance he can, every turn, every opportunity. But we as a church have got to have our ears open. Why? We have a mission. We have a harvest field. But in the meantime, we can't lose our own soul. We can't get caught up in the lies and the deception of the adversary. If the preacher says it, listen, by God, listen. Open your ears and pay attention. Don't gamble with your soul. Don't gamble with eternity because time is short. It's short. So, I don't know how to close. I'll just close this way. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you need to get baptized. That's born of the water. Nowhere in the Bible did anybody ever baptize using the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It doesn't exist. Prove me wrong. Listen, we can sit down and we can have an honest discussion. I wasn't raised in the church. I studied this out. There is not, it doesn't exist in Acts chapter 1. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then afterwards, they baptized 3,000 that day. In Acts chapter 7, or 8, the Samaritan believers were baptized in the name of the Lord. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius and his family, these are all believers now. They're not sinners because they're going to the and throughout the land teaching the new birth experience now that Jesus ascended into heaven. And so in chapter 10, Cornelius and his family, they pray for them. They receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And then Peter said, should any forbid that these should be water baptized as were we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I'm going to drag you out there to the pond. He said, you must be born again of the water now that you're born again of the Spirit. Now, I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to help you. It's not hard. My God, you walked farther from your car to the sanctuary than is here from the baptismal tank. If that was me, I'd be like, where's your robes? I'm not taking no chances. It's pretty plain. You do know that the titles, the terms, Father, Son, Holy Ghost only exist one time in the scripture. One time. That is in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What is the name? Father, Son, Holy Ghost is not a name. Now, I would have a problem if I came home, my wife said, "What's up, Father?" I'd be like, "Well, first of all, I'm not a Catholic. Secondly, I hate that term. I hate that title. It's not the name. I know you know this, but I'm just reiterating it to you. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it matter? I don't know. Does the Bible matter? Kenny, get ready because I don't want to go to hell. Does it matter? Now listen, that's the way some people treat the word. Like it doesn't matter. To me, it's in the book. It's in the book. I'm trying to finish. But you got all these dingbats now. Write down, Dan. You got all these dingbats now in the world. Well, the Old Testament's not relevant. It doesn't really matter. Now everybody's a Greek scholar now. Everybody, oh, the Greek. Listen to me. For thousands of years, since 1460 or 70, when the first Bible was printed, or the first printing press was made, and then the first Bible came shortly after, since then until now, we didn't need the Greek interpretations of it all. But now, you know why? Because the Bible says, professing themselves wise, they became as fools. Now we all got to be really smart. Well, that's not what the Greek word means. Listen, I've looked up some Greek translations just to give some context to the word, but I also believe that God's not stupid. And if he gave me this word, I can read it and he can translate it in my brain as I'm reading it. God did not need concordances, and he did not need Bible dictionaries, and God did not need the internet, neither did Paul or any of the apostles. They preached it without even having a book. Why? Because the word was written in their hearts. The devil is doing everything he can to tear down truth. Everything. Nothing matters. Everything's okay. Do whatever you want. His grace still covers you. The Old Testament doesn't matter. And the New Testament, half of it wasn't even written properly. That's what they do with John. You know, they take out the last couple chapters of John. Well, you know, when you study history, you know. Shut up. Just shut up. I'm going to read it. And I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to accept it. I'm going to receive it in my spirit. Because it's the Word of God. And it never changes. And it never fails. How do I stop? I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know how to quit. I'm all over the place. Live like you're living in your last days. Ask God to give you the same wisdom that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had, which is what? Truth and love, but don't compromise truth at all. Don't look for a watered-down gospel. Don't embrace anything other than the pure word. Listen, that's why we have Bible studies. I have a Bible study we do. It's called Search for Truth. You know why it's called that? Because we're searching for the truth. The Bible says this is the scriptures, and they are they which testify of me. It's all there. You just got to search a little bit. You got to find it. You got to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and then you shall be filled. God, Lord, let the Holy Ghost, I pray, fall in this place right now. God, let the Holy Ghost fall in this place right now. Let it begin to fall on every person, I pray. Let your angels, oh God, loosed in this sanctuary right now. God, let the word, I pray, begin to be anchored and solidified in our spirit. God, whatever I have said, if I've said it in error in any way, God, I pray that you have fixed it in our minds right now and fix it in our hearts right now. And let it be clear. Let there be no confusion, God. The enemy has no right to come into this place and to try and twist anything I said, to try and twist any words. Let the pureness of the word of God ring in our ears and in our hearts, because we are going to reach our world with truth and love, but truth will prevail. We're going to teach it. We're going to... Brother Klein, he told me last week, he's preaching holiness in their Bible study. And some lady said, nobody's ever taught me this. I've been in 20 different churches and no one's ever taught me this. God, help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and give every preacher the wisdom and the boldness and the love of God to preach it in its purity. And do not let us fall to deception. Do not let us go astray. God, if you got to shake me up, then shake me up. If you got to stir my spirit, then stir my spirit. Don't let my family be lost. Don't let my children be lost. Don't let my home, God, suffer. Don't let me be afraid to be a voice. Don't let me, God, give me the word. Let it echo in my spirit. Let the words roll off my lips. God, let me get a passion and a burden to reach my family, to reach my neighbors, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Because when you have your way, something has to break.
Oh, Jesus, help us tonight, oh God. Help us tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost wants to sweep in this place. Come on, somebody. Thank you for your response so well. Let the Holy Ghost sweep over you. Let the Holy Ghost flow through you. This is the rest wherewith we cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, move. Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. Cause when you have your way, something has to break. It's something has.
Do in me what you need to do tonight, whatever it is, oh God, do it. Do it in me. Do it in me, Jesus. Do it in me. Come on, if you're tired, just worship for a couple minutes. If you're hungry, just worship for a couple minutes. God will be your refuge. He'll be your strong tower. Don't get focused on what's wrong in your home. Let the Holy Ghost fill you up and take that back into your household. I know many of you are wrestling with your families. You're dealing with stuff. God knows. He knows. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. And I believe you'll get me to it. And I believe that you will do it right now. I feel it. Tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. I feel it in this room, Holy Spirit move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. And tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. And something has to break. Something has to break right now.
For a baptism, but I wonder if all of our teenage girls, would you gather over here and pray together with each other? Can all of our teenage girls, would you do that, please? I really feel like you all need to pull together more. Come on, all of you. Everybody's prayers matter. Come on, I want you all to join over here and pray together. Would you do that? Keep singing, Brother Tyler. You would.
In this room, Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. And tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. I feel it in this room, Holy Spirit, move. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. And tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right.
This was certainly unexpected, but Dory was already baptized. I don't know much about their past, but to my understanding, she was never baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and she wants to be rebaptized tonight. And we're honored to be able to be connected with their family, and of course we'll be joining families here in September, and so that's pretty exciting for us. It's debatable who got the best end of the deal, them or us, but we're thankful. So we're gonna go ahead and baptize her now, and we're excited and honored to do that.
Let's pray, church. Jesus, we thank you for Sister Doreen, this wonderful decision. We know that you will honor it, God. We know that you will honor her. And from this moment, we know, Jesus, that you will help her in her life like you never have before in this wonderful act of faith, Jesus. We know that we need to get baptized in the name of Jesus to go to heaven. And so may you honor this decision, Lord. May you step and walk with her every way from this moment in her life. I pray you'd lead her and direct her, Jesus, and stir up something in her spirit, Lord. And in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
And based off the confession of her faith, we're going to baptize Dory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of her sins.
Remind all of us, myself included, because I'm hungry too. They will have food in the cafe, in the foyer, the outreach team. So I don't know what all they're having. I think it's like pizza, good stuff. Pizza, chicken tenders. I think there's some desserts in there if you really got a sweet tooth. But I'm also thankful for this message God brought. It's always important that sometimes we get our toes stepped on because, you know, he told Job to gird up his loins. And at some point in our lives, we do need to gird up our loins. We need to see things the way they are and face it head on. And I'm so thankful for a pastor who's willing to preach the truth, to not water any of it down or anything of the sort, but to give it to us as it is. Some people might not be able to handle that, but I'm glad I'm with brothers and sisters who live the life that I live and who are with me. So let's pray. Let's pray over our rides home, all that stuff, and let's receive this message. Amen. Jesus, I thank you, God, for this word that you brought forth. and for the willing vessel that was prepared to do it. I pray that we'd receive this message into all of our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our spirits, Lord, letting it resonate within us, God, that we would change the way we live, Lord, allowing you to have your way in our lives. We thank you, Jesus, for your provision, God, and we thank you for who you are, everything you've done, everything you're doing and going to do. And we pray this all in the wonderful, amazing, mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dismissed, but please be mindful of anyone else praying at the altar and try and move conversation to the foyer and the fellowship hall.